Blog Talk Radio.
Judges that are recorded over Israel. He was of the
tribe of Dan. He was a son of a man named Manoah, and we have no idea what his mother's name was because they simply call her in Scripture Manoah's wife. Well, his mother, Manoah's wife, was barren, but an angel of the Lord appeared to her in a field where she was working. Twice that angel appeared to her. Second time she went home, the second time the angel went home with her and sat with her and her husband and gave them the news that they would bear a son. The angel said, your son will be a Nazarite from birth. The Old Testament and even the New Testament speaks of Nazarite. It says, will be a Nazarite from birth, meaning that he could touch no dead body, can't cut his hair, and never eat or drink anything that comes from a vine. There are in these scriptures other Nazarites. In fact, also in the book, also in Judges over Israel was Samson, who we credit first. Samuel, the prophet Samuel, whom we credit First and Second Samuel, the books of the Bible, to. He was also a Nazarite, as was in the New Testament, John the Baptist was a Nazarite. And then we see that the Apostle Paul took a Nazarite vow where he observed the Nazarite custom for a short period of time. But Samuel, John the Baptist, were Nazarites from birth, meaning that plan for them was that they would never cut their hair, never drink or eat anything from the vine, and never touch a dead body. Now, these were some of the signs and some of the characteristics of Nazarites, but they had other missions that came from God that were simply symbolized by these three things. Samson had superhuman strength. He was the strongest man in the Bible. He killed a lion with his bare hands. Bible says Samson caught 30 foxes and tied their tails together and then set them on fire. It says that Samson killed 30 men at once and took their clothes. It says he slew 1,000 soldiers with the jawbone of a donkey. So one night, Samson went down into a Philistine city. Not going to say or mention why he was down in the city after hours, why he was down there in the red light district, but Samson went down into a city, and the men of the city said, we got him now. We're going to trap him on the inside. So they locked the gates to the city. But when Samson got ready to leave the red light district, he uprooted the gates and took them with him. They found the gates much later on top of a hill 30 miles away. Samson was indeed a strong man. He was a powerful and a strong man, but finally Samson single-handedly demolished the great Philistine convention center when he took a pillar in his right hand and a pillar in his left hand and brought the whole building down. Samson was indeed a strong man. Samson had superhuman intelligence. Samson thrilled himself with his cleverness, and he was known for posing riddles which no man could answer. Samson was not only super strong, but he also had superhuman intelligence. Samson had a superhuman libido. Can I say that again? Oh, I wish somebody would go with me. Samson had a superhuman libido. He was a Nazarite and consecrated to God from his mother's womb. He was the smartest man of his time and perhaps the strongest man of all time, but was putty in the hand of a woman. Lord, have mercy. You can read about Samson for yourself. Samson was putty in the hand of a woman. He was hopeless and helpless in the presence of a beautiful woman. He was a judge over Israel for 20 years. I'm telling you, Samson was a judge. He was a strong man. He was an intelligent man. And he had a superhuman libido. Now, Samson is famous. Really, Samson is important to the history of the judges. Samson is important to the history of Israel for one thing. He was the first Israelite judge to stand up to the mean old Philistines. The mean old Philistines had dominion over Israel at the time, and they were wreaking havoc on all 12 of the tribes with their great armies and their marauders. the Philistines were tormenting God's people. Now, when we hear this story, and we hear the summary of Samson's life, and what we remember about Samson from Sunday school, we know that Samson was a Nazarite from birth. Being a Nazarite, he could never cut his hair. He could never touch a dead body, any kind of a dead body. He could never eat or drink anything from the vine. We find that Samson had a habit of monkeying around with his Nazarite vow. Samson had a habit of monkeying around with his gift. Samson had a habit of abusing what God had given him. You are not to cut your hair. You are not to touch a dead body. You are not to eat or drink anything from the vine. But Samson in his superhuman intelligence, Samson in his superhuman strength, Samson in his superhuman libido had a habit of monkeying around with the gift that God had given him. He was not to touch a dead body, but he killed 30 men for sport and took their clothes. He revisited the carcass of a lion which he had killed a few days earlier. You see, the carcass of a lion is a dead body. Now, it's one thing that he had killed this lion with his bare hands and walked away, but a few days later, he came back and ate honey out of the carcass of the lion. Sound like a dead body to me. If he killed 30 men, it sounds like dead bodies to me. God told Samson, don't eat or drink anything from a vine. Well, when Samson had killed this lion, he had abandoned his parents on the way to cut through the vineyard, and that's why he encountered the fierce lion. In other words, if he hadn't been in the vineyard, talk back to me if you can, if he hadn't been in the vineyard, he probably would never have met the lion. If he had not been in the vineyard, and if he had not met the angry lion, he probably wouldn't have had to kill the lion. But because he killed the lion, he obviously touched the dead body. Amen. But even before that, what was Samson doing in the vineyard? He was monkeying around with his gift. He was monkeying around with his Nazarite vow. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Samson had a habit of monkeying around with his gift. Never cut your hair. We know the story. First Samson told Delilah that if his hair was ever braided, then he would lose his strength. The next morning, Samson awakened, and Delilah had braided his hair and tied it to a weaver's loom. I must wonder right there, what kind of sleep was Samson doing? That while he was asleep, somebody could braid his hair and then tie it into a, tighten it in the weaver's loom. Lord have mercy. What in the world did that woman put on him that would allow him to sleep so peacefully that she could tie his hair into the weaver's loom and tighten it? One must wonder, was Samson indeed monkeying around with his gift? And was Samson indeed drinking something from the vine? Was Samson touching dead bodies? And was Samson attempting to cut his hair? Finally, Samson revealed to Delilah that if his hair was cut, he would lose his strength. Samson was guilty of monkeying around with his gift. Well, y'all, I know you do remember Samson, don't you? Everybody remembers Samson from Sunday school. Samson's hair grew back, and God gave Samson yet another chance. And Samson would still be the occasion of the Lord. In his commentary, Matthew Henry takes great pains to make the point that Samson, in all of his inexplicable splendor, was one of us. Oh, Lord have mercy. I could talk about that for a while. Samson was one of us. In fact, I might need to borrow some time today from the fivefold ministry that I can talk about not just one of us, but Lord have mercy, some of us. Matthew Henry says, we must look into this story. We must read this story not as a simple Sunday school lesson and not as a simple bedtime story, but look in the story story and identify the characters, and how do we identify with Samson himself? Oh, that's not the nature of message. That's not the center of the message today, but it's something to ponder and think about. How do we line up with our gifts? How do we line up with the do's and the don'ts that God has given us? How are they working in our lives? Now, there are some general things. There are some laws and some rules that we're all under. And everybody is under the same laws and rules. How are we holding those up? Then there are some precepts and principles that perhaps we run across because of our geography or because of our family or cultural concerns. How are we measuring up with them? And then there are those things that we got a calling from Almighty God. And it's a personal calling, and it's just for us. How are we measuring up with those things? And then I said, carefully, I wove mine into a beautiful prayer this morning where I said, basically, Lord, all that you've taught me for these many years, teach me now how to use that information, how to use that intelligence, how to use that strength to the glory of God. Let the church say amen. Well, this morning, we are casting an opinion and looking at the way Samson behaved, but how are we behaving? Are we monkeying around with our gift? Are we avoiding the exercising of the gift that God has given us? Are we bringing out and cultivating those fruits that God has planted in our spirit? Just how are we behaving with what the Lord has given us? And how are we dealing with the occasion of the Lord? For in Judges 14, verses 1 through 4, Samson, as a young man, is searching for a wife. He has been across the border to Timnah of the Philistines and seen the woman he wants. Well, now we remember also, in a cursory review of the Bible study, we remember that the Philistines are never spoken well of in the scripture. Even when David ran and sought cover behind the Philistine line, they still were not well spoken of. I'm telling you, those Philistines were some hateful folk. They were some mean and unruly people. The Philistines even stole the Ark of the Covenant of Israel. They were not good folks to hang out with. They became the arch enemy of Israel for decades and decades. And it took David and King David and all of his might and prowess to finally destroy and separate Israel from the Philistines. Philistines brought other gods in and it influenced the culture of Israel. The Philistines were marauders. They attacked and they did guerrilla warfare, if you will. They were terrorists, if you will, to Israel. They were never mentioned in a good light, but here in this particular story, Samson had been across the border of Timnah of the Philistines and seen the woman he wants. Samson tells his father and mother, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. Now go and get her for me to marry. This was not unusual in the custom of the time for the father and the mother to find a wife or bride for the son. That was not unusual. In fact, in some Eastern cultures, that's still the case. So that part wasn't unusual, but the part that was unusual was they became a little upset. Couldn't you find anybody else that you want? He did not even perhaps look out amongst the Israelites. And so can you find a woman of your own people, of your own race, of your own color? Why did you select one of our enemies to marry? Now, they raised some good points here. They raised some good points for us to ponder. And so often we kind of say, well, I love everybody. I'm friends to anybody. I don't care if they look like me. I don't care if they talk like me. I don't care if they identify with me in A, B, or C areas. I love everybody. I'm a child of the King, and I love all the children of the King. I love all of God's creation. But don't you bring nobody here to marry that doesn't look like you. Lord have mercy. I hear folks say things like, I like to stay within my own race. I kind of cringe when I hear that. Folks I look up to, I appreciate. I like being around. Suddenly would say, I like to stay in my own race. Well, I like to stay in my own race, too, because there's only one race. Look it up in the dictionary. Look it up. There's only one race, human. The human race is the only race. And when you look up human race in the Webster Dictionary, you find that it says there's one race, human. And there are 3 to 5 divisions. In other words, there are 3 to 5 divisions tells me that what we call race, we're not even clear on that. We don't even come to agreement on what's a race and what is not a race. Is Judaism, is Jew a race? Or is Semite a race? Well, Jews are not even clear on who's a Semite and who's not a Semite, because the Arabs and Jews are both Semites. In fact, they kind of look alike because of the region of the world that they're from, but they can't even come to agreement on whether they are one race or not. But the dictionary by itself tells us that there are only one race. There's only one race, human. So now we have, human beings, have divided ourselves by opinion, by skin color, by region, to determine who's what race. So now they're here saying, but God has told us to stay within the Israelite custom. Why is this man blessed of God? Why is this man anointed of God? Why is this man called of God? Why is our son gifted of God? Why is Samson, who's taken a Nazarite vow, which we've never heard of before, why is he the elect of God going outside of our race? But because they had seen the angel, and because the angel had told them that Samson would be a Nazarite from birth, they followed this and found him a wife. Didn't last long. Didn't last long. That was perhaps a plan for God to use marriage, like Solomon did, to unite them with the Philistines. Didn't work. His in-laws didn't like it. He acted a fool when he went over there in the Philistine city. Acted a fool toward his wife. Showed off. Cheated on his wife. Did all of this stuff that God's elect shouldn't do. So here's Samson, strong man of the Lord, marrying somebody outside of the Israelite custom. But they did not know when Samson came to them and said, Mom and Dad, I found a woman of the Philistines. Go get her for me. The Bible says they did not know that he would be the occasion of the Lord. His father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Paul wrote Romans 8:28, that all things work to good. All things work together for good. Those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. That God has a plan within the plan. That even when we step outside and mess up the plan, God still can work a plan within the plan. I need to get to this text and not keep you all morning. But Samson was looking for a wife. His parents got him a wife, and they did not realize that he would become the occasion of the Lord. Samson's mother and father saw the dreaded interracial marriage, but they did not see what the angel had said, that he would be the occasion of the Lord. Samson fulfilled this occasion and this opportunity of the Lord because he was the first judge over Israel to stand up to the Philistines. In his lifetime, he personally slaughtered 4,000 to 5,000 Philistines and struck fear in their hearts. Israel began to stand up to them and under Samson and finally defeated them later under King David. I wish the church would go with me and realize that Samson was indeed the occasion of the Lord because nobody for all this time had fought back. And now suddenly Samson is fighting back. Samson is striking back and let them know you can't run all over Israel. You can't run all over my people and not expect a response and a consequence. You can't just show up and the Israelites will run, but God will raise up a judge among his people that will stand up and fight. I wish somebody knew today that the same God is the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that means that in whatever oppression we realize and encounter, God will raise up a judge. God will raise up a soldier. God will raise up a man or a woman to lead us through the circumstances. What we need today is the occasion of the Lord. And let's look at some Old Testament witnesses to the occasion of the Lord. Let's look at some Old Testament witnesses. Daniel In chapter 3, the Hebrew boys were thrown in the fiery furnace. We remember that story, too. We remember that they were called to bow down to the king. And these were three faithful young men. And these were three obedient young men. And they were three men whom the king had trained and blessed, and they had raised up in the kingdom. They had been elevated in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And he liked these boys because they were great servants, and they were fantastic. They were giants on the spot. And when he found out that they would not bow down, he found that out. It disturbed the king. He didn't just immediately and flippantly say, go kill him. It disturbed him, and he gave them another chance and another chance. But the three Hebrew boys said to him, we will never bow down. But even if our Lord does not deliver us, please know, O King Nebuchadnezzar, that we will never bow down, because the boys became the occasion of the Lord, that in never bowing down, accepting the fiery furnace, they converted the king. Lord, have mercy. In the same book of Daniel, Daniel himself finds himself being placed in the lion's den. He found himself written with the threat of being tossed into the lion's den to be eaten by hungry lions. Why? Because he prayed openly in the kingdom. Not only once or twice, he prayed three times a day to the living and true God, spite of the fact that he was supposed to serve an idol. Once again, King Nebuchadnezzar couldn't sleep, couldn't believe that what he had done, but he had been tricked and forced to throw Daniel into the lion's den. We know the story that Daniel was all right. We know the story that Daniel, while the king was up and disturbed all night long, Daniel was in the lion's den fellowshipping with the Lord all night long. We find out that Daniel was indeed the occasion of the Lord. We find in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, Moses went and saw a bush on fire. Moses realized something different about this bush, was attracted to a burning bush. Moses was attracted to the burning bush. Something out of the bush spoke to Moses. Moses knew that it must be the God I've learned about, must be the God that I've heard about, got to be the living and true God that I've heard so much about, that told him, take your shoes off, because the place where you're standing is holy ground. And we know the story of Moses, Moses the great lawgiver, the Moses the prophet, Moses the great shepherd. Moses, excuse me, he wasn't the great shepherd, he was a shepherd. Moses the great leader. Moses was equipped to go back to Egypt and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses became the occasion of the Lord. I'll stop here, I'll pause here for a moment. And I will say that this is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. You can reach us at goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. We're 804-313-7853. We're doing something a little different this morning. We're going over into the fivefold ministry broadcast, and we're going to share a word with you on the other side of the hour. And the word that we're going to share today is coming from the book of Judges, the 14th chapter, focusing on verse 4, the occasion of the Lord. So if you have tuned in for the fivefold ministry this morning, you have tuned in to the right station. You found the right place. This is indeed a portion of the fivefold ministry this morning, presenting to you Jeremiah Speaks broadcast ministry by Gernot Reed, already in progress. So stay tuned. We're still on the air with the fivefold ministry. Join us now at Judges, the 14th chapter, and the 4th verse, as we talk about Samson, the occasion of the Lord. In that 4th verse, we've already talked about the history of Samson. We've already talked about the gifting of Samson. We've talked about the Nazarite vow placed upon Samson. Brings us to the text where Samson is saying to his parents, that I found a woman of the Philistines, our enemies. I found a woman of our enemies, but I want you to go and get me for a wife. They became upset. They became really troubled by his request. They went on and did it, but they were troubled by the request because they did not realize. The scripture says they did not realize that Samson will become the occasion of the Lord. Today we're looking now at this hour. This again, we are part of the fivefold ministry. We're presenting to you this morning an occasion of the Lord from Judges, the 14th chapter and the 4th verse. Because what we need today is the occasion of the Lord. What we need in this post-pandemic society, we need the occasion of the Lord. What we need in the globalist society is the occasion of the Lord. What we need in a super industrial technological society is the occasion of the Lord. So we go look at witnesses in Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah is unlocked. That's why we have the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. The Jeremiah Speaks ministry, in which the broadcast is named after, the Jeremiah Speaks ministry is a little about 2.5 years old, and the Jeremiah Speaks ministry is dedicated to the addressing of idolatry in the church and the authority given to the church. Jeremiah Speaks broadcast chose its name Jeremiah for a reason, and Jeremiah Speaks for a reason, and for this reason. When we think of the prophet Jeremiah, he was long-winded, he had a lot to say, and nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. The folk that came under and heard the words of Jeremiah did not want to listen to Jeremiah. But here's what was unique about Jeremiah as a prophet in that particular time. Everyone seemed to know that Jeremiah was a prophet sent by God. That did not seem to matter. It's one thing to call a person a false prophet. It's one thing to say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But with Jeremiah, the people understood he was a prophet sent to God, yet nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. Jeremiah Speaks broadcast is dedicated in that same line of thinking. We're bringing you a team of preachers at 8:30 on Sunday morning, at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. We're bringing a word from the Lord through Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. This word can sometimes be a hard word. This word can sometimes say, you're out of your mind if you're taking your children trick-or-treating to strangers' houses and celebrating Halloween. It's something wrong. And Jeremiah Speaks lens and borrows from Elijah would say, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to strangers and begging? Well, that's the type of thing Jeremiah Speaks gets in trouble for. Just like Jeremiah in the Bible, Jeremiah Speaks has a tendency to speak a truth that nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear anymore how powerful the church is and that Jesus has given all authority to the church. And whatsoever you bind in heaven on earth shall be loosed. I messed that up. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. Everybody wants to do their own thing. We find that God in the blessing business in the scriptures tends to rarely show where he just blessed one person. But he usually blesses many people, and he blesses us to be a blessing to somebody else. That's the power and the authority of the church, that if two shall agree as to touching anything on earth, I will give it to you. But you got to come together in agreement first, that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. That's a powerful blessing and message to the church. For Jeremiah Speaks comes with a message of church authority. Why don't you use it? Keys to the kingdom, please use them. Choose life or death, please choose life. I've given you a free will, please use your liberty to serve me. Jeremiah comes back and speaks about idolatry, that there are 10 commandments. There are 10 commandments listed in Exodus 20 in the Old Testament. There are 10 commandments. As children, we learn about the 10 commandments. These represent the law. 10 commandments represent the law. We know the 10 commandments. We have to learn them in Sunday school. And then so we realize that, watch this. 3 of the 10 commandments are devoted to idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, and thou shalt not covet. 3 of the 10 commandments are dedicated to idolatry. We can't say that about any other subject that 3 commandments are dedicated to it. This must have been important to God. So then we say, we hear it all the time. Athletes are interviewed. And I heard twice recently during this that's what you call it, a series about Derek Jeter, one of my favorites. And they talk about children who says, I idolize. Who do you idolize as a player? Derek Jeter. I want to grow up to be Derek Jeter. I idolize him. And nobody sees anything wrong with that. American Idol stayed at the top of the chart for a decade with the name Idol in it, and nobody had a problem with that. Christians making time in their schedule to watch a show called The American Idol. Who do you idolize, America? This is blatant slap in the face to the God that says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No idols. And then the covetousness. I know we're getting back to Samson. Again, I know we love Samson. We're getting back to Samson. But we're introducing on the fivefold ministry the partner, Jeremiah Speaks Ministry, which precedes this ministry on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 7 o'clock on Monday through Friday. Is that the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast addresses covetousness. Well, what in the world is covetousness? The King James says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor, what the neighbor has, the neighbor's wife, neighbor's belongings. Thou shalt not covet those things. Well, what in the world is that? Because we now only deal with 9 commandments. We don't deal with that thou shalt not covet one too much. And then Paul writes down that covetousness in his letter to the Colossians, Paul writes that covetousness is idolatry. Excuse me. Covetousness is idolatry. So then we look up covetousness in a modern dictionary, and we find that covetousness is greed. It's simply greed. Somebody said that's one of the 7 deadly sins. Greed is covetousness. Now, we're operating in capitalism, which is not a terrible form of government. It's a fair form of government when it's not abused. Lord have mercy. When it's not corrupt. Lord have mercy. It's a great form of government. But now the capitalism that we know is a distortion of the original preface for capitalism. The capitalism that we know is based upon greed and covetousness. Get all that you can, regardless of who it belongs to. Our commercials on the television are all, excuse me, I can't say all, mostly based upon covetousness. Buy this car because he has one. Buy this car because there's a beautiful woman sitting on the hood of the car. Buy this car because everybody else is getting them. That is covetousness. Because if it wasn't covetousness, they would say, we want you to buy this car if you need something like this. You don't have a car. You need a car that will get you to A, B, and C. That's one thing. But no, they pay big money for folk to sell shoes to us. Wear this shoe because he has this shoe. Overpay for this shoe because he has this shoe. Carry this bag because this man made this bag. Carry this bag because this one. Well, Jeremiah also addresses that. And Lord have mercy, our holiday, don't think to be lying about it. Halloween has got to be one of the most ridiculous things. It's not a national holiday because even our government has figured out we probably shouldn't sanction that. Why should we be celebrating the evils of Halloween? Nonetheless, that's the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. But we, God, when he put this on me, asked me, told me, commanded me to not go negative and not to criticize so much and not to beat up on the folk. Because Jeremiah just put it out there. He just said, it's up there, the Lord. I just want you to put it out there. If folk want to trick-or-treat, let them trick-or-treat. But make sure they know what they're saying to God when they do it. And so we come with a team of messengers that come with a powerful word from the Lord, and they speak life and not death. Blessings and not cursing. Well, that's the approach of the Jeremiah Speaks Ministry, is to teach the truth, to preach the truth without beating the people up. Because nobody wants to be beat up. Nobody wants to receive the word. We don't want to stand before God and not know the word of God. We don't want to stand or go to our grave not using the promises, the fruits, and the gifts of God. And so it's our job and our mission to teach salvation, to teach the gifts of God, to teach about the soul and what's in our soul and who am I and who are we as a church, and to teach about the church. Jeremiah Speaks is dedicated to that. We found a wonderful partner in the Apostle Margie Mercer, who is and come to us, and we've joined together for radio time, and this is a great radio network that we've joined, that it reaches, and recently we saw a report where it had reached 124,000 people on one Sunday. That's a lot of listening all over the world. I believe it's 91 countries that had reported that someone had listened in and had given some time and an ear to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast as well as the Fivefold Ministry Park broadcast. We work in tandem. We go first. We go in, and then Fivefold Ministry comes in and finishes it off weeknight as well as on Sunday. So today's message is from the 14th chapter, the 4th verse, and it talks about the occasion of the Lord. But Samson, when he became a man, asked his parents to find him a lady, a wife of his enemies, the Philistines. Go behind the Philistine line and find this woman. Bring her to me that I can marry her. His parents eventually did that, but they were so upset with him for not choosing a wife of his own people. But it says that the angel realized that their parents did not realize that Samson was called to be the occasion of the Lord. I've given some Old Testament background and characters that were the occasion of the Lord. I stopped on Jeremiah in the 38th verse of Jeremiah because he was so hated among the people. He said, why don't we just throw him in a pit? Let him preach all he wants down there in a pit where Jeremiah says he was cast into the muck and the miry clay. Preach all you want down there in the hole. Nobody has to hear you. But a man came distant from another land. I wish I had a witness here. And his name was Ebed-Melech. Ebed-Melech, on his travels through the kingdom, said, I've heard of one Jeremiah. Where is he? And the people were embarrassed. How could this be? The king was thinking, how can this be that this great emissary that has come to visit us would dare mention the man that we just threw in the pit? So they told him where he was. Ebed-Melech made some ropes and cords and pulled Jeremiah out of the pit and out of the muck and the miry clay, because Jeremiah would be the occasion of the Lord. Finally, the book of Esther. The book of Esther teaches us. It's a beautiful, if it was a TV series now, they call it a wonderful love story. It is a love story of God's love for his people. Queen Esther was made queen. The other queen had disappeared. So they had a contest for who would be the next queen. And the king was so fascinated with Esther that he didn't do the background check on her to find out who her family was, because she was so beautiful. She was so wise. She said the right thing. She was graceful. The king was in love with Esther. He chose her as his queen. Then Esther used her place as the queen to be the occasion of the Lord and to bless the Jewish people. Today we talk about the occasion of the Lord. There are some New Testament witnesses of the occasion of the Lord. Matthew, the 2nd chapter, is just simple, plain and simple, that Jesus was born to die. That from the day that Jesus came into the world, they realized that Jesus was born to die. They dedicated Jesus in the temple, and the Simeon and Anna were in the temple. They blessed Jesus, and they declared that rising and falling in the name of Jesus. They declared that he would do great things, I'm saying, in the name of Jesus. Jesus went on to say that whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be done. Lord have mercy. Jesus said, if two or three are gathered, I'll be in the midst. If two shall agree as to touching anything on earth, I will give it to them by my Father which is in heaven. Jesus became the occasion of the Lord, not just on Calvary, but he was the occasion when he did healing. He was the occasion when he prayed before people. He was the occasion when he walked on the water. He was the occasion when he pulled Peter up on the water. Jesus was the occasion of the Lord. What am I saying? Jesus let the Lord use him as he had created him. Moving on to the next New Testament. Mark 1:2 says that once baptized, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Even Jesus' temptation by the devil and the prince of this world was the occasion of the Lord, meaning it was meant to happen to affect something further down the line. Oh, in Luke 1:76, Zechariah John the Baptist's father. Zechariah prophesied that John the Baptist would be called prophet of the highest and go before to prepare the way of the Lord. That his father, the prophet Zechariah, had prophesied that he would go before, oh my goodness, he would come. Malachi says he would come in the spirit of Elijah. And he would go before Jesus as a voice crying in the wilderness to make straight the path back to God, because that was Jesus. And so he was called to be an occasion of the Lord. In John 9, Jesus and his disciples ran into a blind man. Disciples asked Jesus, based on the tales and the fables that they had heard most of their lives, they asked Jesus, whose fault was it that this man was born blind? Jesus said to them, and he explained and unveiled to them, and then fulfilled it, that it was nobody's fault that this man was born blind, but he was born blind, this particular man, to be the occasion of the Lord. Sometimes when things happen to us, sometimes when we get into stuff, and sometimes our personality would take us places that other folk have never been, it is because we've been called to be the occasion of the Lord. In that case, his blindness was such that one day he would meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He would meet the healer. He would meet the one that could lay hands on him and heal him from a situation, a medical condition that they thought there was no cure. I wish I had a witness here that would say today, I see where you're going. The blind man was the occasion of the Lord. The blind man came into contact with the occasion of the Lord, and the blind man became the occasion of the Lord. There was a man in the crowd as Jesus was bearing the cross. Jesus was carrying that old rugged cross that would be like the Rosa. And along the way, Jesus was struggling to carry the cross. A man was called out of the crowd, Simon of Cyrene, randomly chose and commanded to carry the cross of Christ. Only thing we know about Simon of Cyrene was that he carried the cross of Jesus the last mile of the way. Simon of Cyrene was born. Simon of Cyrene traveled to Jerusalem for that moment in time to carry the cross of Jesus. Finally, in John 18:37, I love this one right here. Pilate asked if Jesus is the king. Thou sayest that I am the king. And to this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone is that of the truth. Heareth my voice. Lord, have mercy. Jesus lived 33 and a half years to be the occasion of the Lord. What we need today is the occasion of the Lord. What we need is the occasion of the Lord. How do I become the occasion of the Lord? How do I become the occasion of the Lord? Avail yourself. Number one, avail yourself to God. James 4:18 says, draw near unto God, and God will draw near unto you. Try it and see if it is so. Avail yourself to God. Number two, if you want to become the occasion of the Lord, seek God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things should be added unto you. Number three, number two says, seek God. Number three says, know your calling. Ephesians 4:1 says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Know your calling. So if you want to become the occasion of the Lord, if you believe that God has made you for a purpose, God sent you here for a reason. You want to be the occasion of the Lord that the Lord made you? Avail yourself to God. Number two, seek God. And number three, know your calling. Then finally, your life. What is God getting you ready for? Where has God brought you from? What is your testimony? How did you get over? Did you do it by yourself? Or did God bring you a mighty long way? What has God brought you through? How did you get through it? All of the failures and all of the successes, all of the pitfalls, peaks, and valleys are for the occasion of the Lord. All of your failures, successes, pitfalls, peaks, and valleys are for your occasion of the Lord. All of your gifts and all of your blessings, all of your smarts and beauty is for the occasion of the Lord. All of your education, all of your work spirit, all of your ambition, all of your accomplishments and achievements are for the occasion of the Lord. If you are born again in Christ, if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, guess what? You were born to be the occasion of the Lord. There may be one outstanding moment in your life. Samson made a fool of himself with Delilah. 3 times he played a riddle for Delilah, but the last time, broke the riddle, solved the riddle, and took away his strength. Samson knew that she was working with the Philistines and not him. Samson knew that he was putty in her hand. Samson knew that he was monkeying around with his gift, because if he didn't get it the first time, he had to get it the second time when he told her that if you tie my hair and braid, that's the source of my strength. And he woke up with his hair braided and tied tightly into the weaver's loop. But that wasn't bad enough that somebody or Delilah or somebody had done this. But there were men to hide it in the closet to jump on Samson when he came to. Samson defeated the men, went right back and told Delilah, if I cut my hair, I lose my strength. My strength is involved in my hair. He was born to be the occasion of the Lord, but he got so caught up in himself. He got so tied up and tangled up in being Samson that he forgot about where his strength really came from. His strength didn't come from his hair. His strength came from his God who made his hair. I wish I had a witness in here. Samson had forgotten too big for himself. And Samson thought that I'm the strongest man in the world. I might be the smartest man in the world. I am giving riddles that nobody can understand or resolve. Nobody understands at the level where I'm operating. It seems sometimes that I'm the only one that knows what's going on. I am so far ahead of everybody in my strength and in my intelligence and in my libido that nobody can keep up with me. There are not enough women for me. There's not enough smart people for me. There's not enough university for me. There's not enough degrees for me. I'm just so good. And Samson got caught up in himself and wrapped up in himself and forgot who was the source of his strength and why he would become the occasion of the Lord. But then y'all know the story. Samson was brought down. The men jumped on him and cut his hair while he was sleeping. Samson woke up and began to cry out, my hair, my hair, my strength, my strength. They tied Samson up this time. Any old man, any short fella, anybody who didn't know the martial arts would tie Samson up now. Tied Samson up, hauled Samson away, took him downtown, put him before the god of Dagon, made a fool out of him in front of the people. Look at the Israelite judge. Look at him. Kicked him around, slapped him around, had a great feast, invited thousands of people to the feast. And they came to the feast, and when they went to the feast, they walked by and see Samson tied up downstairs, tied to the pillar, looking like a complete fool. Gouged his eyes out so he couldn't see them, but they could see him. And laughed at Samson, ha, making of the God of the Israelites. Then we know the story that while they were having a good time and feasting and partying, Samson came to himself. Lord have mercy, it takes a lot for us sometimes to come to ourselves. It takes sometimes for us a long time to come to ourselves. They came to themselves. When Samson came to himself, Samson realized, I made a mess of the gift God has given me. I made a mess of the calling God has placed upon me. I made a mess of the vow that the Lord has given me. God is faithful and true. I believe from what I know about God is that he's still on the throne. That even though I'm tied up, even though my eyes have been gouged out, even though I can't see and I can't seem to get loose, God is still God, sitting high and looking low and hearing the prayers of the saints and even of the sinners. Samson said, I realized what the Lord gave me. I might could have lived 100, 200 years with all that he had given me. And I'm about to die. But I'm going before the Lord one more time. Samson was repenting in a mighty way. Samson was a mighty man. He was a strong man. He was an intelligent man. His repentance was powerful, mighty, strong, and intelligent. Samson said, Lord, you sent me here to be the occasion of the Lord. You sent me here to strike fear in the hearts and minds of the Philistines from this day forward. You sent me here to let them know that you would raise up a judge over Israel that would fight back. You would raise up a judge over Israel that would lead the way and show that you are the great God and that God of that God is not even real. Samson said, Lord, just one more time. Lord, one more time. Give us the strength, Lord, please. Bless me with your strength. This time I might go out in a blaze of glory, but I will forever be remembered, not because of who my parents were, not because of the color of my skin, not even because of the length of my hair. I will be remembered as Samson, a devoted servant of the Almighty God. The Bible says that God gave him his strength back. Samson pulled those pillars down, destroyed the whole building and the whole convention center. Thousands of those partiers, officials, leaders of the Philistines died that night. And then we find the Hebrew writer in the Hall of Fame of the Hebrews, in Hebrews 11th chapter. He calls us Samson in the Hall of Fame of the Hebrews. So I just say to you today that Samson was very well the occasion of the Lord. He went about it in a backwards way. He abused and monkeyed around with his gift. But today I prayed a prayer to the Lord. This morning I prayed to the Lord, Lord, I pray that everything that I've learned and done in the 60 years has been my training, has been my education, and for the rest of my days, Lord, please allow me to use what I've gained through my failures, through my pitfalls, through my valleys, and even my mountaintop experiences. Let me use it to the glory of God, to be a blessing and occasion of the Lord. That his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Even so saith the Spirit. This has been the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and a special broadcast. Now we tune you into and stay tuned to the Fivefold Ministry with the dynamic apostle, Margie Mercer. May the Lord bless and keep you.
Reverend Reed.
My way may not be easy.
Thank you.
Lord,